October 9th, 2018, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Welcome, everyone, to October 9th, 2018, regular town board meeting. With that, I'll ask for a roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here.
And with that, we'll begin with a pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item of business is to approve the minutes for September 25th, 2018 of the audit meeting. Anybody have any corrections or comments? Good. So I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the audit. Actually, you want to do them both together? I think that's the point. All right. How about on the regular or the town board workshop on that same date regarding our economic development plan with the Saratoga County Prosperity Partnership?
Any questions?
Good. Yep. All right. So I'll entertain a motion to approve both sets of minutes.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Item 2 on the agenda is set future meetings and workshops. As everyone knows, we have completed the first round of budget workshops and released the tentative budget. And we now need to follow up with at least one, probably two more budget workshops to finalize where we left off regarding different departments and spending and savings and all that. And we will also have to officially set the salaries for elected officials. So I'm looking at the availability of board members for Wednesday, October 17th at 6 p.m.
Okay.
The first workshop.
Okay.
And I would like to schedule a second, hopefully final workshop, if it is needed, for Thursday, the 18th at 6 p.m.
Can you say Wednesday, October 17th?
Yes.
I'm fine with the 18th.
You okay with that? And that's only if we don't get where we need to be on the first day.
I'm good with that, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Both are at 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay.
That works for you, or you do?
It's going to happen.
I think I'll sit down and send you some dates, too. Alan is also available on the 17th and 18th at 6 p.m., so
okay.
We will set it at that.
Okay.
Hopefully, Gina will be able to attend as well. Item 3 on the agenda is the town's health insurance for employees. We've had a workshop presented by Jagger and Flynn with the insurance committee as well. Actually, a meeting with members of the board on the insurance committee, myself, and then we had a workshop on it with a presentation from them, I believe. And the board has settled on what they'd like to do for the 2019 fiscal year as far as health insurance is concerned. And I'll just run through that real quickly. What the board is looking at is the CDPHP HDHMO qualified 324 plan, which was the very similar to the option we had last year, which would actually reduce the cost of the town by 1.2%. And usually we are struggling with significant increases. So the board felt we would move forward with that proposal. And we also offer, and I think some of the union employees take advantage of the MVP, Silver 3 Liberty HDHP offered. So my suggestion would be this evening, because we need to get a resolution adopted so we can move forward not only with, I think the new start date is December 1st?
December 1st.
And also, we're in the middle of union negotiations, contract negotiations with CSEA, and we need to have a firm understanding of what the insurance proposal is that we're offering our employees. So my recommendation is to ask for a resolution that the town board accepts the following health care plans for town employees for the period beginning December 1st, 2018, and ending November 30th, 2019. And that would be the CDPH, PHTH, MO qualified 325 plan, as well as MVP, Silver 3, Liberty, HDHP. And I'd like to so further resolve that Yeager and Flynn has the authority to contact both organizations, CDPHP and MVP, to procure these plans on the town's behalf.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And for the record, the cost estimate, the annual premium for the town for the CDPHP option will be $194,250. And if all employees were to utilize the MVP plan, which they're not, that would have been $220,010, which is actually an 11% increase over last year. So with the majority of our employees going with the current option, it's a savings to the town. So I think that's a pretty good deal. Next item on the agenda is item 4, Recreation Department requests. We had to do a repair. That was a dealer item, dealer-only item for a John Deere 1999 John Deere F932 mower, which was performed by Falls Farm and Garden, and it was for the amount of $1,282.30. The board was pulled on this, and we had approval from myself, Alan, and John, and this money is coming out of account A7140.4, which has a current balance of $5,859.02. So I need a resolution to memorialize that repair.
Make a motion to memorialize the repair on the John Deere F-93 tomorrow.
In the amount of
$1,250.30.
So seconded.
Any discussion?
Only for future, if we can try to find somebody to work on the equipment without the diagnostics cost associated with it.
Yeah, I think the diagnostics on that was several hundred dollars. Mm-hmm. 7 hours a day, and 7 hours of $77, we were charged $70 per hour on that. You know, I recognize that it's a dealer item, but there's more than one dealer. Yep. And I think we still should adhere to town procurement policy where we seek additional quotes for repairs, and you know, that way I think the taxpayers have a fair shake at most of the money's on instead of school. but this was something apparently that had to be done. That's why the board was pulled on it. Mm-hmm. Couldn't wait for a board meeting. And so we moved forward with it because we feel that we need to be taken care of down there.
Okay. Check the vote.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item on the agenda are highway department requests. First one I have is for 6 dry wells. 3 quotes were obtained. The first was Shimano Supply at $1,186, Lane Enterprises at $1,035, and Steel Sales Incorporated at $11,042. And Paul's recommending that we go with Lane Enterprises in the amount of $1,035. And that would come from account DB5110.450, which has a balance as of October 1st of $29.07.18.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next request from Paul is for rock salt for the 2018 budget year. Looking for an open PO on that? Is that what you're looking
yes.
for? In the amount of $20,000 from Morton Salt. This is on Saratoga County Contract 18 PWS 10R. That account currently has a balance as of September 26th. Account DB5142.490, $21,912.52.
So moved. You can take the other ones.
Okay, so I need a second.
I'll second.
Thank you.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Paul, the this will get you into next year, next budget year.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Hopefully. We have no storms.
Like halfway through
it? IRS.
I'm banking on it. The way to put your budget together. All right. Next item from the Highway Department is a request to. What do you mean set aside?
This is an open PO.
Request to set aside $5,000 for the purchase of crushed stone.
It's for an open PO for crushed stone for door shoulders and.
Some different format than you have.
Yes.
Okay, so you're looking for authority to spend up to $5,000 for crushed stone to be used on various 2018 town projects. And this funding would come from account DB5110.493, which has a current balance as of September 27th of $7,381.36. This would be purchased under Saratoga County Crush Stone Contract Number 17, PWCSG 50R.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. And the last item I have, Paul had at the request of the board in the last discussion regarding the blowing sand that the highway pile. Decided that we look into putting a fabric fence in the current fence that's down there to help break up the wind blowing across the road into one of our local businesses' property. And Paul secured, or had got us 2 estimates, right?
Yes.
First one was for $3.90 a foot. Is that accurate? $3.90 a foot for 50-foot roll. And I don't have that information.
I don't have that information. I can hear that. It came up from one ended up being 460 and the other style was 540.
All right, so I have one quote for total for the project with shipping would be $459.92, and the other quote or cost is for $545.92. I suspect you're recommending going with the lower cost.
Yes,
542. I'm sorry, 545.92. And who would this be from? Fencescreen.com?
Yes.
So this would be for 600 series commercial open. It's got the vents in it.
Yes.
5'8" midnight green. 150 feet. Plus industrial grade fasteners, a reinforced center binding strip, and half moon air vent. Costs more for air vent? Isn't less fabric?
No, you're just cutting into the fabric. Just an extra step.
So my suggestion would be to go with that quote, and I know we had some discussions as to where that funding should come from. And I know you had made recommendations to Jeff, and he and I looked at it, and I thought it was more appropriate that it comes out of the miscellaneous funding, which has a current balance of $705.21. So that's where I would take it from instead of highway.
I'll have to do some transfer because with this month's bills already, I have $300. That'll be coming up after. You won't see that yet because the bills are in.
All right. Well, we'll do a budget transfer. Make sure it's covered before we pay the voucher. All right. That work for you?
That work?
So moved.
I need a motion to move that.
Motion to accept this from
Fencescreen.com.
Fencescreen.com in the amount of
$545.92.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Did you have anything else on your highway department?
That is the
okay, so we'll move on to Highway Garage Roof Update, HVAC, item number 6 on the agenda. Board members should have gotten, and we'll be providing to you and the building department their evaluation of the HVAC mechanical system. We had the LaVerge Group do this as part of an addendum to our January 9th contract of 2018. And what they did is they had their mechanical consultant, major professional engineering, conduct an assessment of HVAC systems within the highway garage, and they outlined their findings and recommendations. Here's a summary of their findings and recommendations. Regarding condensation, they said the radiant heat system in the floor slab has limited capacity, and with the overhead doors opening and closing in cold weather, it takes a significant amount of time for the building to regain temperature. This also occurs when ventilation fans are used with the doors partially open. Of concern here is the possibility of freezing water and sprinkler piping. Recommended is the addition of unit heaters to add heat and help regain temperature sooner. Item number 2. Coincident with item number 1 is the report of the boiler running constantly during cold weather. The addition of the heater should help reduce the strain, rest the boiler, reduce run hours depending on building use and outside temperatures. Item 3. Condensation issues are the result of poor roof installation and ventilation. As these are corrected, moisture conditions in the building should be reduced with proper operation of the heating and exhaust systems. Number four, replicate the original design for the wash bay so the open overhead door is not required. And the final issue for condensation, provide makeup air for office area and adjoining rooms. And they have a separate category entitled general. And they say these improvements are offered for condensation based on observations and information presented during our field observation visit. Number one, consider boiler water treatment to reduce corrosion and prolong boiler life. Number two, neutralize heating system to condensate water. Number three, for safety and access reasons, modify heat pump condensing units, location, electrical disconnects. Number four, modify rated heat coverage for access so maintenance and repair can be performed. Number five, fire stop all penetrations through rated fire barriers per code. Number six, relocate northern HR1 reel for better use and removal of vehicle exhaust. And in summary, it says, if recommended improvements are pursued, we recommend that the town contract directly with MH Engineering to develop the required plans and bid documents. Although detailed design would be required for a proper cost estimate, MH Engineering recommended that a $75,000 to $80,000 construction budget should be established for the HVAC improvements. So my suggestion would be, as we're wrapping up finalization of the 2019 budget, board members review this and have an additional conversation on what they want to do for next year.
Okay.
I'd like to know too, to probably at some point, I should probably rescind that motion from the one meeting regarding the other engineering firm we've done that yet.
We can do that, but just one time.
Apparently.
We can rescind it, but I don't have the wording of that motion.
Okay.
Do you have that in our last? Did we do it the last board meeting?
Yes.
All right, that one.
They weren't part of the minutes to be approved,
well,
so they're
right.
Probably not going to be with this batch.
Okay. So we will do that. The second part of that is a highway drive roof update. I am in receipt of the bid documents for repair to the roof. I will have to reach out to our engineers and find out timing-wise what we can and can't do so we don't jeopardize the $200,000 grant that we've applied for. I don't see a problem putting it out for 2019 as long as the work is not completed by prior to the grant being on contract. So I'll check the reverse group and see what we have to do to accomplish that.
We can just give those scenarios where it can be 99% done and then we just wait on the final
to do that. And that's why we have to have those kind of things.
Okay.
So I do want everyone to go and see those bid documents. I'll give you a copy to take a look at, Paul, and we'll run it by the building department. Let them also offer input, and I know that our engineers are looking for input from the board members as well. So if you want to look at that, any questions, comments, give them to me or reach out directly to Don and get that moving forward. I do not have anything for the water department this evening, so we'll move on to item 8, which is Board of Assessment Review Appointment. We had a request, Leanne had a request from Timothy Long to be reappointed to the Board of Assessment Review. And at the time we received it, the term hadn't officially been expired. And because of that, we couldn't take action until there is an opening. So it expires on September 30th, so there is an opening. So would the board like to reappoint Mr. Long for interview other candidates? Totally up to
you, player. I think he's probably, all the feedback is that he's perfectly fine. Person's been on that board for us in town, so I have no problem reappointing.
Okay, so.
Okay. So with that, I'm hearing from him and trusting his judgment, I would say go ahead, we can do that.
Okay. So with that, I entertain a motion to reappoint Timothy Long of 9 Thomas Avenue Row to the Board of Assessment Review for an additional 5-year term.
So moved. Seconded.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuznir?
Yes. So that will get us up to 4 board members on the bar, and my suggestion is that we continue to look and seek out a fit so that we don't have to worry about the being a tie in any decision. And I think we still have it up on our website that we're looking for those folks.
I believe so.
Item 9, Town Hall Entrance Highway Permit. A little bit of background. 2015, the town had received approval from the state DOT to perform the work out up here in our entrance to Town Hall off of 197. And to make a long story short, that permit was only good for 3 months. The work was not performed. And as a result, I had to reapply. We did reapply to the state. And I spoke with the newly appointed Saratoga County resident engineer and his permit engineer who had reviewed it. And they have a new requirement now that these local permits go to Albany to be signed off by their Albany engineer. And I hadn't heard anything, so I followed up last week, and apparently got lost in the shuffle, but they did follow up with me after I contacted them within 24 hours, and what they said was, well, this individual said that she is used to working in the Syracuse area, and when you do these types of driveways onto state highways, and they're multi- lane. In other words, apparently on the engineering plans, there are 2 lanes to go out and 2 lanes to come back. They require a traffic light, or sheet of it. I said, we're not doing traffic light. We already have a traffic light down at 197, and you know, if the state wants to pay for one, they can go ahead and do it. And I don't think the state was inclined to pay for a traffic control device. So we talked, and we came to an agreement that she thought that just 2 lanes, 1 in, 1 out, would work just fine. However, I don't have engineer plans to say that we're doing just in lane, out lane. And we need to have stamp plans for her to sign off it, but she'll turn it around ASAP if I get stamp plans. So I'm looking for authority from the board to reach out to one of our engineers, I don't care who it is, to see if they will take a look at the previous drawings and do an amended stamp drawing that indicates changes. One thing she wants to see is, I guess there was a 12-inch culvert in the original design. They'd like to see 15-inch. I don't know if you have enough clearance there to put that in.
Be very close.
All right, I'll let her know that.
You won't have any coverage over. So
well, that's what I had told her. I think that's why. Yeah. So I'll talk to the engineer about that. You and I can talk. And hopefully we'll get a design back so that we can complete that work before the plant shut down. How's that?
So do we need to do a resolution to give you the authority to contact?
Well, I'll reach out to them and get something to get a price. And pull the board with it. Although we'll have meetings anyway, we can address it anywhere. that'll keep the ball rolling. So I'll let you know when I find out.
Great.
Because it is a safety issue. Either people leaving here in the dark are going to drive into the ditch because of the way it's laid out. Or somebody's trying to turn in during daytime and there's a car blocking them, there's going to be an accident out on 197 because there's no room for them to turn in because the car doesn't know that that's a two-lane road coming in. So we need to get it taken care of. Next item on the agenda is item 10, part-time assessor clerk. Town board received notice from our part-time assessor clerk. Actually, it was dated September 28th. The town board received it 7 days later. That indicated that Stacy Levin has decided to take a different job. And on the 28th, she was giving her 1 week notice. And her last day would be October 5th. So she's no longer with us, but we have to accept, I guess, the resignation. Mm-hmm. So I'll need a resolution or motion to accept her resignation.
So make a motion to accept Stacy Lavin's resignation from position of part-time assessor clerk.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. Item 11 is a court request, which are in relation to the city cap grant. I spoke with Justice McCabe, who brought it to me today. And I'll just read his request to the board. I'm not sure. It should have been in your boxes if you didn't receive it yet. For the public, I'll read it. Dear Supervisor Kuzner and board members, as in the past, we are applying for JCAP, or Justice Court Assistance Program, grant to assist our municipality and save money for our taxpayers. We are asking for a total of $10,111.57. Replacement of our existing phones, which would also give the court and our administrative offices an opportunity to communicate by inter-office means. The cost for phone system would be approximately $8,526.62. This would include installation. They'd also like to install a video security system in the boardroom, courtroom area, inclusive of the hallways and main hallway counters. This would also be available for the entrances to the building. The cost of this would approximately $1,319.95. And under the grant, he is also requesting purchase of a replacement judicial robe at a cost of $265. So we'll need a resolution authorizing him to apply for the grant.
Make a motion to authorize Town Borough Justice McCabe to apply for the JCAP grant in the amount of $10,111.07.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzner?
Yes. The next item on this evening's agenda is the town sexual harassment prevention policy. As we've discussed in the past, we're now statutorily required to have such a policy in place. And have provisions for filing a complaint, and I believe council has provided a resolution on that.
Yes, you have for you the policy, complaint, the acknowledgement form. The Department of Labor finally gave us their guidelines last Monday and said you have to adopt these by October 9th. You have to adopt the policy and provide it all for you. So that's what we have for you. The only question I had in the policy is who they have to inform if they believe they have been subject to sexual harassment or retaliation for complaining about sexual harassment. And the supervisor and the manager, but I need a third.
Right. And my suggestion is Jeffrey Cruz, who handles the personnel.
Okay.
If the board's okay with that.
Does he know this?
Yes, he's principal account clerk. And Jack Waltry.
I came up with Jack Waltry as in the policy.
I said, does he know this?
He does.
Oh, okay. then I'm good with it.
So yes, there is a resolution. Resolution is that the town board hereby adopts the sexual harassment prevention policy. It is further resolved that all employees shall be trained in the sexual harassment prevention policy as required by law. You have a year from today to train everyone. And then the training is annual thereafter, and you get to choose when the annual, like if you want to do it calendar year or when, however you want to do it.
So if we did it January, sometime in January, would be good.
Yes, and you have to have it done by next October, and then you have to leave.
Do you have a cabinet resolution?
I don't.
You want to read it? Or you should.
Can you grab a copy for me for tomorrow?
I will forward it to you.
Thank you.
Resolution resolved that the town board hereby adopts a sexual harassment prevention policy. It be a further resolved that all employees shall be trained in the sexual harassment prevention policy as required by law.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
Do we have an idea what direction we go with that policy?
We have, we should have gotten the toolkit for it.
Yes, on the email, there's a toolkit, planning policy, the poetry you put up everywhere, and the acknowledgement that, and you can send us by email as well. The toolkit is in that, yep. And that's right on time, too.
And we're right on time, so this is October 9th.
October 9th.
No.
Boca.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Next item on the agenda at this time, we'll entertain comments under privilege of the floor.
Reed, I'm running the clock.
Good evening, everybody. Take your timer. I'll try to be on a 3 minutes. I was driving on Route 32 this afternoon, and maybe we've had problems with the intersection of Route 32 and Reservoir Road. On the state road, they really do not denote that intersection. We've done a very good job on Reservoir Road from our end. Since the state road is theirs, I think if you next time you go out and look, there's really nothing to tell you there's a road reservoir coming this way, and we've had. And I understand that we can't do it, but we have to address that with the state. I've been to a couple of budget workshops so far, and the water tower buildings that I put on my soapbox and then complained about the excess energy used for heat, can we upgrade those buildings? And I know they're not insulated, but they're a waste. If you look at the bills, Todd, you'll see that we're using over 4,000. And we got the kilowatt demand, and if we can get under 2,000 for 12 months, we'll get rid of that and reduce cost. And then also on the budget, if you please, will you address 61 on the street? That is a non-ADA compliant building. No real government organization, anybody can really use that building. Let's just man up and get rid of that building and put it on the tax rolls. It needs to be demolished. Thank you.
I'm compelled to address the phraseology man up. It's not a matter of being.
Excuse me, sir.
But I will say this, there's other factors that are involved.
Sure.
To put these budgets together. It's widely known that we have employees that are looking to be better compensated. So it's a matter of choices when we put the budget together, and we're still making those choices. So we have some more workshops, and we can have conversations on that. Anyone else from the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to supervisors' items. Item 12. I have a request, as the board has received in the past, regarding road closure for a block party. And let's see. Residents on Pine Valley Drive are requesting a block party permit slash permission for October 31st, 2019 for the purpose of holding a Halloween parade for any and all residents of the neighborhood. They're looking for permission to close down a short section of Pine Valley Drive and Jerome Lane between the hours of 4:30 and 6. I think we did this last week, too, right? Cool.
Yes, we did.
Doing this ensures the safety of everyone involved. These folks will be happy to coordinate with the highway department to finalize details. They'll have adults overseeing the blockades in case there's a need for emergency vehicle to pass through the area. And they have, or in the process of notifying neighbors of the traffic impediment, and they have not heard of anyone at this time that would be inconvenienced by that closure for that period of time. And this event has been hosted for the past 6 years in other neighborhoods, so we're looking for a resolution from the board to accomplish this goal, which would be to close the road October 31st, 2019, between the hours of 4:30 and 6, and it's for Pine Valley Drive in Jerome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Are we invited?
Yes.
Yes, I have a question. They definitely
did. I think you're invited. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Next item I have under supervisor items, we have board members have received a copy of the Rural Landfill Inspection observations. And two things of note were brought to the town's attention.
When have we gotten those copies?
October, it was sent to me October 2nd.
I don't recall getting it.
If you don't read, I can get you, I'll read it for you pretty short.
Okay.
Hello, Todd. Second semi-annual explosive gas monitoring event and landfill inspection was completed on September 21st, 2018. There are no major issues noted, and the landfill appears in good condition. The few areas of sparse vegetation previously noted appear in better condition, and there is no recommended action regarding these areas at this time. There are two items that should be addressed. There was a small tree that fell onto the surface of the landfill near the southwest corner that should be removed, and gas vent GVK, which is located near the top of the landfill on the west side, was noted to be broken at the ground surface. This gas vent should be repaired by replacing the damaged section of PVC at the base of the gas vent. I've attached a site plan of the landfill with locations of the downed tree and damaged vent indicated. Gas vents on the landfill are all labeled as well. If you have any questions, please contact me. Thanks. Daniel Axel, PG, staff geologist with CT Mail. So what I'm hoping is that maybe Paul, you can take a look at that.
Yeah, the last couple times we've had gas vents, the transfer station manager took care of them.
Can you move the tree then, maybe?
Yeah, we'll move the tree. I'm just telling them that that's what they've done with that.
All right, so I'll reach out to our transfer station employees. When it was repaired last, was it the same?
No, they sat up there all the time.
No, that's the same thing.
They're shifting and moving up there. So.
All right. Well, I'll start with them, but we may have
to. Yeah, we'll get the tree moved then.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll get you a copy.
More work on that? Because they usually email me that. But I didn't get it.
Let's see, it went to Rudy Click, Lisa Sperry, and John Munson. So I guess it didn't go to anybody else in the town. So yeah, we'll get to copy board.
Yeah, they just sent me a copy right after
the day. The next item I have on the supervisor's items is just a travel advisory from State DOT that Route 32 is actually outside the town, but a lot of town residents utilize it as they egress from our town on 32 headed south. Will be closed October 15th through October 20th. at the location between Brownville Road and Jewel Road for culvert replacement in the town of Montgomery. So just FYI.
Good. Thanks.
And the last item I have under supervisors' items is we're working on a draft parking ordinance, actually an updated one to our current ordinance. Town board members have been providing input for two councils for finalizing that. One of the issues that came up with a resident over there, I said I'd bring to the board, is that if we prohibit parking on both sides of the streets and have family gatherings, they will be in violation of the parking ordinance. So my suggestion is maybe we want to consider one side of the road. I don't know.
On Elmwood?
Yes,
yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah. I actually think Elmwood, one side would probably be fine. No, actually, I haven't seen much of a parking problem in Elmwood yet.
We had the most of the right on the street.
Yeah, we did. I don't know where that suggestion came from, but I just said okay, fine. But
Elmwood?
Elmwood, which is the one right.
I know, it runs up by the school.
Penguin School to
Marrow.
You know, the other night at the game, there were a couple cars parked down on Elmwood, so I get that. So you run that corner, just cars parked on the road, a little bit of a hazard. One side would be fine, because I can see what would happen. I mean, you know, part of our list is we're going to address, is it West Road off of Merritt, where there are students, you know, during school hours, students are also parking, so they will find places to park, and it's definitely an issue.
Okay, so on West Road, I've been kind of watching that after having heard there was a complaint, and there's roughly between 3 and 5 cars that will park.
Yeah.
Actually, in a private, you know, private.
It's onto the grass.
Right, so if we make it no parking, and they're still parking in the grass, it's not really illegal because it's on private property. I haven't heard if anybody, the address there on the corner, 54 Peter Damo, I don't know who lives there. I don't think that they are the complainant in this.
No, it's definitely a family with teens, like probably friends of friends of the residents, you know, it's probably.
It could be, that might even be an apartment house, I don't know, but, you know, nobody's complaining about it at this point that I'm aware of.
But even parking on the grass in part of the town right away?
So it's during the town right away.
That's the whole right away is wider.
Most of them, the tires are on the pavement, so.
Right. So that's definitely the town right away.
Okay. But I'm just thinking, I mean, so with the town right away, and what is the distance? And would you put the parking signs into that point? Or. Yeah, I'm curious because from my past experiences, if there was a vehicle in a no parking zone and it's on pavement, it could get a ticket. If it was in beyond that on the grass, who am I to say that it can't be there as a police officer? And with that, it's not really enforceable. Unless the person that actually owns the property says, I want that car out of here, and then you can have it towed. Because it's private property.
Right, so I still would think, not, I'm sure the complaints that are coming when the cars, because they're not always parked so all the way in the grass, right? They're,
no, I understand.
So
my understanding, so I stopped down and I spoke with Maureen at one point, and she gave me the name of one person that made the complaint. That person told Maureen that she would call on behalf of the neighbors, but it was one call that I was aware of. And I don't know if anybody else has called on this.
We've had several calls on that intersection, especially.
West Road?
Because people are trying to come out, people are trying to turn in. The ones coming out are over in the other lane because the cars are too close. So there's been a lot of, quite a few complaints from there.
I do think that they're a little bit dangerous travel with that group of signs in there, for sure.
Okay.
So we're still doing the more work on our local law.
We could always put on the signs during school hours or put the school hours on there, or, you know, that's what the ones on there would say now.
Most of them.
There's
so there's one that's on Merritt Road between Feeder Dam and Elmwood. And I don't believe that area there is listed as no parking in our code.
Actually, there was nothing down there within the building.
What do you mean there's nothing on Merritt?
It's not, the code doesn't talk about
that. Never listed on Merritt Road at all.
And
for all these years, 30 plus years.
So signs have been there, so it's basically been unenforceable.
But under 30 plus years, they're always waiting for one time.
Alright, so I would suggest that we have a list of the current roads. We have the issue of what to do for people who have family out of thousands. I like the idea of having the time limit on the signs, because that way it frees it up for parking
if you do that, then you're going to a different section of your law, because the one you're changing right now is at all times. So you're going to want to do a different section, which is fine, but just so you know.
The only thing I want to bring up with that, so the high school has been very popular with us for, and I think some people are picking up on it. So the new issues are kind of showing up on the iris and those opposite streets. And because there's no sign parking on each side. But some of the other issue that comes up with that, and I don't think it's been much this year, because I don't think Pop Warner's at the school, but the Pop Warner on weekends used to be clogging up that road too. So it's not, if we were to change it to say during school events, Pop Warner's not a school event. You know, we're just trying to keep that lane or like boarding. Sporting events, there you go.
Anything
with that?
Right. You guys can do what you want.
Okay.
It's not
yeah,
the right.
I don't like that. But so, you know, and I think about this. Okay, so with Elmwood, right, there are times when Penguin has an overflow because of different events that are there. And I'm thinking that I had parked on Elmwood at one point or another because of that, to walk into Tanglewood. It's not just like if there's a sporting event, right?
Alright, I'm going to do this. We can't enforce it now, maybe, because we're not a police officer.
Well,
we can enforce it.
You can enforce it. The sheriff's department can enforce it. State police can enforce it. Just a matter of writing a traffic ticket or a parking ticket.
So, you know, Merritt Road actually is under a completely separate section.
Yeah.
And it's from 7:30 to 3:30, Monday through Friday, in school, in session at the senior high school.
Okay.
And it's very specific locations, so tech, parcel, and numbers.
Right.
But so you really, so that's in the certain hours, but you put it into echo. You don't want anyone parked there. So that's something you have to let me know.
All right. I think we can do a workshop on the safety. So we will continue. It'll be a work
project.
And we'll schedule that workshop after we're done with it.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay, I'm good with that. Yeah. That's all I have under supervisor items. Committee reports, anybody have anything they'd like to report?
I really don't.
Alright, with that, I'm going to need to do an update on Peyton. We need to do an update on any of the tax or share cases. Are you looking to provide any kind of an update based on your correspondence from our special counsel to the board and executives? I did that.
Mm-hmm. We can discuss it if you want to.
Is there anything different than email at this point?
Okay. No,
so
we will
not.
So yeah. This.
That was the update the board requested. That was the update you gave me.
I'm sorry.
That was the update the board requested. has to go to yours.
Okay. So I will entertain a motion with an executive session to discuss CSEA contract negotiations, future contract modifications to the AT&T contract for cell tower use for mobile broadband, and also I would like to discuss the work history of a unnamed town employee.
So moved.
Anything else, Tom?
I don't.
Second.
Roll. Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes.
Am I ready to turn this on?
Yes. Entertain a motion to come out of executive session and note for the record that no action was taken in the executive session.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Does anybody else have any further business before the town tonight?
No.
That I'm in motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Roll call.
Councilman Hogan?
Yes.
Councilman Noonan?
Yes.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Thanks, everybody.